This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, January 19th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. The Town of Cedar Edge Board of Trustees held a special work session on Thursday to discuss the rough draft of regulations for medical and recreational marijuana in town. While no decisions were made, the town is leaning toward a cap of 2 recreational vendors and 1 medical vendor and limiting pot shops to the south end, away from downtown. According to the Delta County Independent, they also discussed a hybrid application method, deploying both a lottery and a merit system so potential retailers can be vetted. The early draft regulations for retail marijuana in Cedar Edge are available at cedaredgecolorado.com. The Delta County Health Department continues to vaccinate individuals in Phase 1A, which includes healthcare workers, and 1B, which includes individuals 70 and older. Delta County is not ready, however, to move on to individuals younger than 70 years of age. If you are 70 or older, the county encourages you to contact your health provider. Individuals can also call the Delta County COVID Call Center on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 970-874-2172. Colorado's General Assembly returned to work last week for 3 days before adjourning for a month due to the pandemic. The state's largest union of educators is calling on lawmakers this session to increase funding and make classrooms safer. Eric Gladys reports.
Amy Baca-Ollard with the Colorado Education Association says she's looking forward to working with lawmakers to ensure that educators get the resources they need to provide students with a quality public education, regardless of their zip code or the amount of money their family earns.
In a time where we are trying to address the needs in a global pandemic and educating our students, we need the legislature to prioritize funding for our students and for our public schools.
Last spring, lost revenues in the economic fallout of the public health emergency led to state lawmakers increasing what's known as the budget stabilization factor, or the amount the state would underfund public education, to more than $1 billion. Baca-Ollard believes it's time for the state to find new revenue sources. That includes closing corporate tax loopholes, which she says take vital resources out of state during a time of great need for public services, including schools.
Prior to COVID-19, we had one of the strongest economies in the country, but one of the most underfunded public education systems in the country.
Baca-Ollard says more than half of educators are set to retire in the next 3 to 5 years and thinks more needs to be done to improve working conditions. She notes teachers spend almost $700 out of pocket on average for school supplies and even food for hungry students. She's also looking to lawmakers to invest in adequate PPE and other measures to keep kids and teachers safe.
We know that ventilation is key to ensuring a safe and healthy environment. Many of our school buildings are in a state with very poor ventilation systems, and that's going to require funding.
This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The Electric Utility Cooperative Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association has relied on coal to generate the bulk of its power for many years. Now, Tri-State is shifting focus to increase the use of renewable energy, but undoing years of fossil fuel influence is challenging. Austin Cope of KSJD reports for the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Fossil Fuel Collaboration.
When Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association unveiled its Responsible Energy Plan at the beginning of 2020, it released a video showing colorful footage of solar panels and wind turbines in a grassy field.
We are taking bold steps to change how your energy is produced, with 50% of your electricity coming from renewable sources by 2024. Because as a cooperative, we are changing together.
The specifics of this plan are being submitted to Colorado regulators this winter in a document called an Electric Resource Plan, or ERP. Right now, Tri-State still gets 2/3 of its energy from fossil fuel sources. As late as 2016, that amount was over 3/4.
The hallmark of the Electric Resource Plan filing and our preferred scenario is the identification of an additional 1,850 megawatts of renewable energy and energy storage that we believe we'll need to install by 2030.
That's Tri-State's Vice President of Communications, Lee Bowie. He says among other benchmarks, the co-op is on track to meet an 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in Colorado by 2030. It will also close all of its fossil fuel plants in Colorado by the end of the decade. He says its plans show a commitment to providing, quote, reliable and responsible energy to its members.
Well, I do know they're committed because there's a state mandate that requires them to be committed.
That's Jessica Matlock, CEO of La Plata Electric Association in southwestern Colorado. She's referring to legislation passed in 2019 that requires utilities in Colorado to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions to 80% of 2005 levels by 2030. This legislation is a bigger influence on Tri-State's creation of the Responsible Energy Plan than the utility's commitment to fighting climate change, Matlock says. The cooperative has had a historic culture of viewing fossil fuels as superior to renewable energy, she adds, and that view stretches back a long time. As an example, she recalls working as a staffer on a U.S. Senate Energy Committee in the mid-2000s, where Tri-State would come to lobby alongside fossil fuel investors in support of pro-coal legislation.
This was an electric cooperative utility, a public power entity, that was advocating, the only one in the U.S. advocating to keep their coal.
The process to create Tri-State's Responsible Energy Plan didn't start until 2019, after the legislation was passed and after two of Tri-State's main competitors had released their own versions of renewable energy expansion plans. Bowie acknowledges some skepticism about the transition towards renewables among some of Tri-State's 42 member co-ops. But he says the steps the utility has taken with the REP shows that solar, wind, and hydropower can be reliable and cost competitive with coal and natural gas. Formerly resistant members are coming around to the changes, he says. But other co-op members think the transition is moving too slowly. La Plata Electric and another member are negotiating to exit or modify their Tri-State contracts, and two others have already left the co-op. Details are still being worked out in court, but the moves stem in part from Tri-State's contract restrictions on the amount of renewable energy the local cooperatives have been allowed to generate. For example, Delta Montrose Electric Association in Western Colorado finalized its exit in the summer of 2020. It cited the high prices of fossil fuels and Tri-State's reluctance to add more renewables to its grid in its decision to do so. Another provider in New Mexico followed a similar track several years previously. Other parts of the Responsible Energy Plan also need improvement, according to Gwen Farnsworth, Senior Energy Policy Advisor at the environmental policy group Western Resource Advocates. While the plan will reduce greenhouse gas emissions from fossil fuels, it doesn't account for emissions from sources outside of Colorado. Specifically, Farnsworth notes Tri-State still has a contract to buy power from a large coal power plant in Wyoming.
So I think that's going to be one of the big challenges, is figuring out how Tri-State can meet its goals for emissions reductions, for renewable energy, and for cost reductions for their customers in Colorado while they are tied to a contract with out-of-state generation that is high cost and high emissions.
While Tri-State is considering a plan to stop buying power from that station by 2033, Bowie says it has not made a final commitment and won't for some time.
We have to work with the other owners of those power plants as we look at the future and what role they play in the electric system.
This winter, as Tri-State submits documents about the plan, Colorado regulators will have the chance to require changes, clarifications, and additions. So now, with 2019's legislation, the state of Colorado will get to decide whether Tri-State's Responsible Energy Plan is really responsible enough. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Austin Cope.
That does it for the regional newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.